So today's reading is from 2 Corinthians, a passage in chapter 8 and a passage in chapter 9. And if you're following on the church Bibles rather than screens, it's on page 817 and 818 of the church Bibles. So starting with 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 9. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing their service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it to the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that through his poverty, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And then going on to chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And you will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of being in your presence, and even more the privilege of being known as your children, for that is what we really are. Thank you for the love and the grace that you poured out that enabled us to come into this position of privilege and fellowship with you. And thank you, Father, that today you'd have us think and talk about one of your attributes and to imitate you in that respect. Namely, the fact that you are the God who gives and the God who gives liberally and generously. And that you call us also to imitate you in giving liberally and generously. And Father, we pray that we might hear what you have to say for us. In addition, that we might believe and receive it in our hearts. And then that we might act upon it by your grace and through the enabling work of your Holy Spirit in us. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we have talking about giving, and to some extent I feel qualified to talk about giving, and to some extent I don't. I'm not an American televangelist who they're very good at speaking about money and getting people to give. I'm not one of those. I'm an accountant. Accountants don't give money very easily. Scottish people don't give money very easily, and I'm a toxic combination of the two. I'm not Scottish, but I trained in Scotland 5 years. And so in that sense, I am not qualified to speak about it. But in the sense that God has graced me in my life to be someone who has received from other people's giving and who by God's grace have also been in the ministry of giving, I believe that he has enabled me to share a few things. And two warnings to give to you before I start. First of all, that I might say some things that you might find offensive in the area of giving. I warn you, first of all, in the spirit of Christian brotherhood and Christian communion, I beg of you to forgive me in advance. And I hope that it will generate a desire in you to go read the scriptures. And if you find I'm right, then take heed and do what it says. If you find I'm wrong, come and tell me. I'll take heed and then I'll also learn from you. So that's the first one. The second warning is that often when people speak about giving and how God moves in that, others who have not come into that economy and that fellowship with God in that particular area believe that you're either telling lies or you're talking about theory. And so what I try to do is share some examples in my own life. And then after the first service, a retired Baptist minister gave me a very brilliant example of his that happened in 1950. So I also talk about that as an example. But it is not to shift attention away from God and his scriptures. All I'm trying to say is that even I, someone who shouldn't be giving because I'm an accountant and a Scottish trained accountant at that, the miracle of giving has touched me. And if I can do it, you can do it. Okay. And if you find that offensive, I apologize to begin with. But let's start with the passages of Scripture. I like to talk about two things. The first is to talk about the example of the Macedonian church or the Macedonian churches. Paul uses them as an example. And then the second thing I'll talk about would be the charge that Paul gave to the Corinthian church to emulate or to take the example of the church in Macedonia and put it into practice. So those are the two main things I'll talk about. Now, when we look at the church in Macedonia, in verse 2, they were described in various contradictory ways. These are people who were said to be in severe affliction or in severe persecution or were being tested severely. And they were also described as people who were extremely poor. Yet in that same verse, they were described as people who had joy that was overflowing and they were rich in generosity. Now, wait a minute and think about it. If you are under persecution, your joy overflows. Does it make sense? If you are living in extreme poverty, you are rich in generosity. Now, think about that. I don't know where your life situation is. I am not under extreme persecution. And I am not suffering from extreme poverty. But if I were, let me just check up whether my phone is still on. I normally put it off. Sorry about that. You just know that I'm not a technology savvy person. So, okay, I'll put it off. And so let me come to that, because that teaches us something. That really teaches us something. That somehow, for the people of God, our earthly circumstances are not what defines our actions and our behavior. We are not confined to what people expect of us. What most people will say, look, You can do whatever you want to do with me. You cannot determine how I respond to it. And that is part of it. So you have people who were supposed to be crying out and wailing, and they were overflowing with joy. And then you have people who were poor, extremely poor, and they should be receiving, and they were giving out generously. And we find out not only generously, but they were giving out cheerfully. And they thought it was a privilege to give. How did this happen? I think verse 1 gives us a clue. Verse 1 talks about, in verse 1 of chapter 8 says, "We want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." The grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. If there's one word that is used so much by the Christian church that it has almost lost its meaning, it's the word grace, or the phrase "the grace of God." Sometimes we say it every week. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. And so it becomes something that we just say. But hold on a minute. Let's think about it. The grace of God enables us to respond in surprising ways to the things that happen to us on this earth. Let me go to something that Paul says in the same 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He says that, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power, which is part of the grace of God, is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed." And it's because of what? The grace of God. And the first point I want to make to you is that whatever your life circumstances, God has provided for us an economy of grace that we can come into. And that no matter what happens inside, we will surprise people. That sets us apart. Sammy says that the name of the Lord is a tower, and the righteous run into it and they are safe. Not only that, these people were extremely poor. I don't know, I mean, if I look around us, none of us can describe ourselves as extremely poor. And yet they gave generously. Again, it is by the grace of God that they did that. Now, what did it mean when they said they gave generously? Verse 3 gives us an example of what they did. It says, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability." So as much as they were able to give and beyond their ability. And I ask you a question, and I ask the same question of myself, and no one can answer for you. No one will be able to answer for me. Do we give as much as we are able and beyond what we are able to give? Now, let me just warn you, one of the statements that you might find offensive is just about to come. God does not need your money. He does not need it. If you thought God needed your money, really? He who made the heavens and the earth, what have you made? He who says the silver and the gold are mine, the cattle on the hills are his. He made beyond this world, he made an entire galaxy. You can even make a sandhill. And you think God needs you, or God needs your money? Really, think about it again. And that is why the Macedonian church talk about the privilege of sharing and giving for the work of God. Think about it. And what does it mean to give beyond what you are able to? Let me give you a few examples in my own life. I was saying to Ben that when we sang the song, Majesty, it took me back to sometime in 1981 or thereabout. On the 26th of December in a country called Ghana, I went for a Christian program that was called Explosion of Joy. And I'd heard Majesty before, but that was the time I heard the song Majesty, and I felt this must be what heaven would look like, you know, with the trumpet blaring. Try listening to it with a full-blown trumpet and stuff like that, you know, those anthemic songs where it's almost like a herald coming in with the music. And my goodness. And anyway, let me come back to the story. So Majesty, and it was organized by a group called Joyful Way Singers. They're still operating in Ghana. Wonderful music group doing evangelism in schools, universities, and in rural areas. And when we had sung, and I didn't know whether I lay prostrate or whatever, when it came to giving an offering, now I traveled 25 miles or thereabout, or 20 miles to go to the place, and I didn't drive a car at the time. I used public or whatever transport system that was there. When it came to the giving of an offering, for some reason, I emptied my pocket and put everything in there. Now, it must have been because of just the song. I mean, can you imagine Majesty? It talked about kingdom authority. Flows from his throne onto his own. I mean, and songs like that. And you are just soaked up in the glory of God. And when it comes to giving, you give everything. 8 o'clock at night, I have to leave the place and go back home. And then I realized I had no money with me. And I thought, what a stupid thing to do. Whilst I was working out how to get home, and whether to walk or not, and then somebody who was driving a pickup truck came, stopped by me. I didn't know him from Adam, and said, are you going to this place? And I said, yes, I am. He said, I don't have any seats, I don't have any space in the cabin, but if you can jump into the back bucket, that's okay, you go. And I jumped into the back bucket, and it was Majesty all the way back home. God provided a transport for me in that. And that was the beginning of a walk of giving with God. I didn't have. I did have. I gave. Oh, let me talk about some other experiences where I did not have, and I gave beyond what I had. And I make the point not to give attention to myself, but to ground what Scripture is saying in the reality of today. So let me just give you two examples. Very recently, there's a friend of ours who's a pastor in a church in London. I mean, God laid it on our hearts to give something to him. Now, I don't give cheerfully. I mean, look at my face. Do you see cheer in there? No. Now, I almost give. I'm reaching the stage where I can say I give almost cheerfully, not cheerfully. And so it was laid on our heart to give something to him. Now, I didn't have that money to give. And I let Tina know about that, half hoping she would say, do you really have that money? Do you really think that it's God who is asking you to do that? And she was like, well, if God is asking us to do it, let's go and do it. So that was the first failure in my plan. My plan B was not there. And then, not too long after that, an organization called me and said, would you come and provide us some training in Dubai? And in an area that I wasn't known as a specialist over there, although I knew that area. And as soon as I finished the training, the amount of money they gave me was exactly the amount of money we had to give to a gentleman. And even when I received the money, it was tough giving him the money.
Although, I mean, there was no doubt that it was his God was just passing it through my hands. It was really very tough giving him the money. And I remember when I called him, and Tina will probably remember that, so she's kind of said, have you called Philip? Have you called Philip? You know. And that was during my moments of struggle. So I called Philip on one Saturday and said, well, we have this thing for you. And so can I have your bank details and send it? And he says, that would be really very useful for me and the church. And he pastors a small Baptist church in London, because the church was at that time struggling for some bit of money. I had no clue what was happening. I was just used. How's this then? Would God use somebody else? He will. It's a privilege that he chose me. And he provided the money. Because I didn't have it. Anyway, I didn't have it. And he caused those people to get me into Dubai, to do some training, to be paid, and for me to do that. And much more recently, a similar thing happened. Some friends of mine who were in ministry, who I did not expect, they needed some amount of money, and it was laid on my heart to provide 20,000 sterling to them. Again, I didn't have that amount of money. And I thought that they would need, the way in which it fell on my heart was they would need it in the future. And I came and said to them, okay, so in future when you're going to do this thing, this is what the Lord says. And they said, oh, we started doing it. And I said, but that amount has been provided and it's been given. God knows the needs of his people, and he will meet their needs. If I disobeyed, would he meet their needs? He will. I have no doubt about that. But he placed me in a privileged position to work with him. As a beneficiary of his grace, he's invited me to become a participant with him in sharing stuff. And God promises that he will bless. That takes me to the second bit, the charge that was given to the Corinthians. He said to, I summarize in this way. He said, excel in the grace of giving. Excel in the grace of giving. That is in chapter 8. And in chapter 9, he starts talking about, don't sow sparingly, but generously. Not reluctantly and under compulsion, but cheerfully. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And God will make his grace abound in all things. He talks about all manner of things. And I'm saying to myself, really? Is that true? And I can testify to you that that is true. Some 4 years ago, I was promoted to sit on an executive board of my organization. And I thought, fantastic. This is because I'm brilliant. I'm so and so and so and so. And then somebody called me from one of the churches that I supported in Ghana. And he says, I saw something on the internet that you have just been promoted. And I said, oh, yes. You know, so very, very full of sanctimonious pride. I mean. And then he said, that is very good. You know, we've been praying for you. And I said, yes. Then he said, you know, think about it. First thing we pray for is that you retain your job, because we know if you are sacked, then the amount of support goes away. Number two, we know that if you are promoted, a lot more money is coming, the amount of support increases. And not only him, a host of other people who we have a sharing relationship with told me this. But one of the things that made me know that it's true was this. The God who says that he listens to the prayer of the poor, of the orphans, of the widowed, will he not listen to their prayer on my behalf? Because by the grace of God, he passes financial resources through me and other resources to them. Think about it. If this person sees you as God's gift to him, God's extension of God's hand of grace to him, and says, Noel gives me this, and goes on his knees and says, God bless this man, that I'll be able to have something out of his generosity. You think God would not answer? But my life experience is that God does answer. My life experience is that God does answer. And I challenge you to bring people into the experience of the grace of God that he has given to you. Because if you are walking and living in the grace of God, then my job and your job is to invite others to share in the grace of God that he has given to you. And in sharing in the word of God, yes. And in sharing in the generous blessings that God has given to us. So he comes and says, do not sow sparingly. And nobody is asking you to give what God has not asked you to give. It is very clear. It says, as God lays on your heart to give, you give. Don't give less than what God asks you to give. And don't give more than what God asks you to give. Because you see, and don't give what God has not asked you to give. Because he doesn't need it. At all. If he's asked you to give, he's asking you to participate with him in some enterprise that will inure to your benefit. That's all. And let me come back to the example of the Macedonians. They didn't only give financially. They said, first of all, they gave themselves to God. And then secondly, they gave themselves to the work of that mission. If you have not given yourself to God, let me flag another offensive statement. Don't give God your money. He doesn't need it. Instead of giving God your money, give him yourself. Can I say that again? If you have not given yourself to God, don't give God your money. He doesn't need it. Are you richer than God? No, you're not. Put Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and all of those people together. They're not richer than God. And if you are not richer than any of them, what makes you think that God needs your money? He wants you, first of all. Number two, if you are not committed to a particular purpose, don't give to that purpose. It's given without thinking about it. There's got to be some connection. So somebody comes and says, I'm going to do something. God has laid on my heart to do something in a particular area. Fine. If you have an attachment of grace, an attachment in your heart, an attachment that God has placed with you on that particular thing, then give. And you give not only yourself, not only your money, but all to that. In other words, if you are not praying for a particular ministry, I say that ministry doesn't need your money. They probably need your prayer much more than anything else. But it's not an either or. Pray for them in your heart and give to that ministry. That way, you will not give grudgingly. And you will not give doing this thing. You see, it's not a competition giving. If it were a competition, Acts chapter 6 would not have been written. And Ananias and Sapphira's example would not have been given to us. It is not a competition. It is people who acknowledge the grace of God in their lives, letting out, showing forth that grace, and bringing that grace into the lives of people, because we're working in partnership with Christ Jesus. When he speaks, we speak. When he moves, we move. When he gives, we give. Again, give as God has laid on your heart to give. Let me just give you the final word in terms of a word of promise that was given to the people, the Corinthians. Paul says that it gives two types of promises, all reinforcing the same thing. And I'll just read them and say a few things, and then I'll be done in terms of that. It says in verse 8 of chapter 9, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." So, just listen to it again. All grace abound. At all times. In all things. In everything that you do. That is a picture of generosity. The generosity of God towards you. That you learn that generosity from him and that you apply it to yourself. And God is able to do that. Would you put him to the test in terms of that? Many people say it, but we live in hard times. And you're asking me to do these things. And I'm saying to you, really, life is all about making choices, isn't it? So, and you choose what is important, your priorities. And there are sometimes you get to do some things. There are sometimes you get to reduce some of the things you're doing. So who says that you must live in a big house all the time? Or you must live in a place with a high postcode, a high value postcode all the time? Who says you must eat in a restaurant every week and not once a month, let's say? Who says you must drive the best car there is? Who says that? Nobody. It's a matter of priorities. Sometimes, yes, you would have to drive in the best car there is because there's no demand for your financial resources. Sometimes you don't have to because God is calling you to do something with it. What we're saying is this. What's your priority? Now, understand me, I'm not saying all of us should walk around as if the burden of the whole world is upon us and things like that. That's not what I'm saying. Sometimes God places you in a situation where he calls you to join with him to do something, and he's provided you with the resources to do it, or he will provide you with the resources to do it. And I'm saying that when he has placed you in those circumstances, some of what you do in making those resources available is to switch it from one purpose to the other. So sometimes God gives you the money to be able to live in a good house. Sometimes God gives in an excellent house, let's say. Sometimes he calls you to live in a just good enough house in order that the same resources, some of it are released somewhere else. And it's a matter of priority. It's a matter of listening to God in terms of that. And he's not asking you to give fantastic amounts of money. If you're not able to give God a little bit of money when you're earning a little bit, don't believe that you're going to give to the purpose of God big amounts of money when you're earning a lot, because you don't have that habit of obeying God and doing that. When I told you that at that event called Explosion of Joy, I gave all that I had, you know how much that was? It probably is £1.20. That was all. That was. And I gave that. But if God couldn't trust me in £1.20, he wouldn't trust me with 20,000 sterling. So let me read the last bit of scripture to you on that, and we'll close verse 11, or 10 and 11. "Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You'll be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This is not a very interesting to preach about, but God calls us to do those things. And I hope that you put God to the test in terms of that. Start with your £1.20 like I did or thereabout, and see where God will take you. And as I said, the miracle of a Scottish-trained accountant being generous can be replicated in your life. May God bless you. Amen.